Lord, as we now come and we listen to your word, would it bring encouragement to us? Would it bring a challenge for us? Would it bring maybe correction to our hearts and our minds? And Lord, regardless of where we're at, as parents, as educators, as members of this congregation, that we would take and apply the truths of your scripture today to our lives for the kingdom's sake. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our message today is entitled, Back to School, Are You Ready? And my focus in the first service was speaking to students. I recognize many of the students now are in Sunday school class, so I modified it a little bit. I want to try to speak to the teachers, but there's still application for every one of us. The things that we're going to talk about today, whether you're a teacher or a parent or a student, it still applies in your life, but some of the applications will be specifically directed towards students and parents and teachers. So if you don't fall into one of those categories, you still write some stuff down, and maybe you challenge your children or your grandchildren, or maybe these are things that you can be praying for with our students. Generally here at Florida Gardens, we take a chapter, we take a book, we slowly walk through it. We don't do topical messages all that much, but this morning, because of the dynamics, it is more topical. So I'm going to share 7 principles. We're going to look at different passages. So have your Bible. If you don't have it, there's one in front of you. If you don't feel too comfortable flipping, write the passage down. Go back and look at it as time permits throughout the week. But we're going to try to move through these 7 principles and encourage each one of us. So, if you want to have a good, successful year this year, number one, let me challenge you to choose your clothes prayerfully. Okay, choose your clothes prayerfully. Now, I know that many students are going to go home today and they're going to lay out what they're going to wear tomorrow, right? Because you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And maybe even as teachers, you're going to go home and you're going to, okay, here's what I'm going to wear tomorrow. I want to look all professional and academic, and I want my students to think I'm a good teacher, right? I know when I was in 9th grade, I realized that they gave out all kind of awards in high school, you know, most likely to succeed, class clown, those types of things. One of the awards that they gave out to seniors was best dressed. When I was a freshman, I thought, that's the award I want to get. I want to be best dressed when I graduate. And I realized that really wasn't the award to go for because you could just buy that. I wanted to win an award that had more substance, right? But we all kind of care about how we dress and what we look like and what people think about us. But I want you to know this, teachers, students, parents encouraging your children, it doesn't matter nearly as much as what's on the outside as if they're clothing themselves with the full armor of God. And that really is the challenge for every one of you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, look, we're going to engage spiritual things. Tomorrow, teachers, students, when you go on campus, there's going to be all types of spiritual dynamics that are ongoing. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the full armor of God, to clothe ourselves with what really matters. Because you're going to engage in difficulties, challenges, every day of the school year. Some of that looks like waking up in the morning, being in the Word and praying and saying, Lord, would I walk clothed in your protection, knowing that the evil one is going to look for an opportunity to cause me to fall, to cause me to sin, to cause me to turn aside, to cause me to go after the things of the world. And Lord, what I heard these teachers say, Lord, I want to be a light. I want to impact lives. In order to do that, we have to clothe ourselves. And even if you're not a teacher, tomorrow when you go to your work, there's going to be unbelievers there. There's going to be all kinds of chaos that goes on. There's going to be all kind of language, all kind of thoughts, all kind of communication. And if you don't clothe yourselves with the armor of God, you are likely and susceptible to being defeated. But teachers, let me ask you this question. When you wake up, will you take some time to ask the Lord to clothe you, knowing that you're going to be tested by students? Some of you are going to have some tough kids in your class. Some of you are going to have some bad parents that are going to annoy you, that are going to bother you, that are going to be a thorn in your side. Some of you are going to have administrators that you don't like, that are ruthless, that have views and theology that's contrary to you. How are you going to be able to make a difference? How are you going to be able to stand? It doesn't really matter if you have the newest clothes, the coolest clothes, if you look good. It matters if you're clothing yourself in the armor of God. And I don't mean that to be trite. That is significant. Every day, you don't put on the full armor of God before you go onto that school field, before you go onto that mission field, you are opening yourself up to the flames and the darts of the evil one. It doesn't matter if it's a public school, if it's a charter school, if it's a Christian school. The evil one is able to be in all of those. Clothe yourselves with the full armor. A second principle to apply is to pick your friends wisely. To pick your friends wisely. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." And in Psalm chapter 1, it talks about, you know, blessed is the man who doesn't follow after the way of the foolish and doesn't go and do the things that they're doing. And especially for students, parents, who are your kids' friends? Are they the type of people that are causing them to have a bad influence? Are your children connecting with people at school who don't love the Lord, who don't honor their parents, who speak in a way that's not Christ-honoring? If you're a parent, why are you letting your kids hang with them? And you say, well, I don't have any control over that. Yeah, you do. You're the parent. Speak to them about it. Encourage them. I challenged our youth this morning with that in a big way. Because you see, what happens in our mind is we think, well, it's not going to influence me. It's not going to impact me, who I'm hanging around. It does. When I was in middle school, I played on the basketball team. I wasn't very good, but I played on the basketball team. But as we rode the buses, you guys are old enough, and they would play music that was inappropriate on the bus. Like a rap group out of Miami that was popular in the late 80s and early 90s that just degraded women and used all kind of profanity. I went to a public middle school. I mean, I was in seventh grade, and that's what was coming on the radio. You know what happened? I started finding myself singing those words because I was around it, because it was influencing me. If you don't think, parents, that who your kids hang around is going to have an impact on you, you're wrong. Let me just challenge you with this, too. It doesn't matter that they're believers. I got onto our youth group this morning because I told them, I said, some of you that call yourself believers and attend this youth group are saying things to other students in our youth group about how they dress and who they hang around with and encouraging them that they don't look sexy enough. Challenge them with that. But teachers, what about you? Who are you hanging around with? Are you hanging around with those other teachers that are complainers? The teachers that are always bad talking about the administration or about other teachers? Because if that's who you hang around with, if that's who you find yourself associating with, then you're going to start doing that as well. Or you can choose to hang around with people that are positive and encouraging, people that have similar thoughts and opinions and perspectives. But I want you to know, pick your friends wisely because they will influence you. And maybe the other question is, who are you influencing with your friendship? Pick your friends wisely. Number three, let me encourage you to use your words carefully. When you read the book of James, one of the things that it says in James chapter 3 is the tongue is very hard to tame. And it says it's amazing that the very tongue that we use on Sunday to honor and to bless the Lord is the same tongue that many people use to demean, to curse, to put down others. And it says, how is that possible that out of the same mouth would come blessings to the Lord and speaking ill of another? I want you to hear this. Every student, teachers, every student in your class, regardless of how bad they are, regardless of how disobedient they are, right, was made in the image of God. Yes, they might be fallen. Yes, they've got sin in their life. Yes, they may have family problems. But I want you to see and know that that person is precious unto the Lord. Do you believe that? They're precious. That the Lord desires that they would know Him, that they would engage in a relationship with Him. So the danger is not to speak bad about them, not to put them down, not to get around the little coffee table in the lunchroom with the other teachers and say, oh yeah, you know, little Travis, you know, yeah, he's such a punk in my class and he's always disobedient and oh, I can't believe that kid, right? Because you speaking that about him, right? What kind of testimony is that giving to the other teachers you're around? And it's not just speaking about other students, but about other teachers, about gossip, slander, speaking ill. And maybe it's not just that type of language. Maybe it's just, you find in passages like Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, it says, don't let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth, but only that which is for edification, for lifting up of others, right? It's amazing how many believers talk and act one way at church, and then those same people use profanity, tell the dirty jokes, make fun of their wife or their husband, right? You get that's what he's saying there. Don't let that kind of talk come out of your mouth. What if teachers, what if parents, what if we encouraged our students with this? Everything we tried to say this year blessed other people, spoke I'm positive about them. What did your grandma used to say or your mom used to say? If you don't have anything nice, don't what? Boy, we could use that lesson in our life, right? Teachers, you know it. Sit around, people, oh, they tell all these crude jokes and they tell that kind of stuff, right? Man, don't engage in that. Use your mouth in a way that speaks positive, encouragement, blessings upon others, and not in a negative way. Type of way. How do you just, teachers, let me just ask you to think about that. How do you speak about your students? How do you speak about other teachers? How do you speak about your parents? How do you speak about your administration? How do you speak in general? Would anybody really look at you based on what you say and believe that you truly use that mouth to honor the Lord? Number four, guard your heart diligently. Sorry, I haven't had you look up anything. I've been going fast. Look over at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Beginning in verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Guard your heart with all that you have, because ultimately what we put in, what we allow to come into us, starts changing, affecting, impacting our heart. What we see, what we think about, it impacts our heart. And then what we start to do is we start to speak that out of our heart. We start to treat other people with that out of our heart. So the challenge for us as believers is to guard our heart, guard what we watch, guard what we allow to come into our lives. Parents, guard your children in their relationships. Grandparents, talk to your grandchildren about their relationships. I just want to say this to y'all, and we touched on it a little bit. I'm greatly concerned. When we look at our nation and we look at the homosexual movement and the inroads that it's made and all that kind of stuff, right? But the problem is, we as believers, we don't have a voice. Because when we want to speak about that or we want to talk about it being wrong, well, we've got all this divorce and pornography and living together before marriage going on over here in our camp. There's rarely a couple that comes into my office that wants to get married that's not already living together. We've had to have true love waits in Christian youth groups and stuff because we had to encourage kids to wait until you're married to have sexual relationships. But I want you to know, many of our students, not just our students, but just many students engage in things that do not honor their body as the temple of the living God. And as parents, grandparents, we need to communicate. Guard your heart. Look, how many of you, let me just see, how many of you, and this might backfire in this with this age group, but how many of you married the person you dated in high school? A few. Most of you didn't. So what we need to teach our kids is, yeah, you might feel like you're in love and you might have all these emotions and things that are coming over your body, but that's not your wife. And that's not your husband. That's somebody else's husband. That's somebody else's wife. And you need to honor that person as a brother and sister in Christ. You need to honor that person as somebody for whom Christ has died, whom Christ desires to have a relationship with, not in the lust and desires of your flesh, but as a person who is honorable in Christ's sight. We need to communicate that to our students. But it's not just an impurity of relationships. And teachers, that means for you too. In your marriage and how you're allowing yourself to get engaged with most affairs, they're usually with somebody you know from work. That's what happens because you're around that person a lot. So teachers, in school, guarding your heart, not allowing yourself to get close to somebody else, to another teacher, spilling your emotions, spilling your heart with that person, guarding your heart, honoring your husband, honoring your wife, not allowing anybody in that school to think, that's a little fishy. They're a little close together, right? We tell it to our students, don't be in rooms together by yourself. You know what? It's a good idea, teachers, as best you can, for women and men, guard against being in situations where people might have an opportunity to think something ill. Make sense? But it's not just in relationships. Guard your heart in the way that you honor and submit to others. The Bible tells us that God has placed over us, we're going to look at it when we get in Romans a little bit later, God has placed over us a government that we are to submit to. Doesn't mean we have to always agree with them. Doesn't mean we have to agree with their policies. And when they want us to do things that are contrary to the Scripture, there's civil disobedience. But by and large, we're called to submit, pray for our leaders, pray for our government, right? Those sorts of things. Teachers, you put that down in the classroom, that means submitting, honoring, praying for your team captain, if you have like some kind of cohort. That means honoring, praying for, submitting to your principal and your vice principal. Aren't they over you? Doesn't mean you always have to like them, but it means you're showing them honor. You're guarding your heart. You're not letting your heart become hard towards them. Because when our heart becomes hard towards people, that's when we start speaking about them. That's when we start to disrespect them. That's when we start to not like them. So instead, maybe you pray for them. Pray for your relationship. Look for opportunities for God to allow you to be impactful in that person's life. And it's not just the other teachers and administrators, but also guard your heart in the way you deal with parents. I know you'll have some pretty bad parents and you'll have some pretty annoying parents. But what if what if you sought to heap burning coals on their head? You didn't treat them as they treated you, but instead you treated them as you would want to be treated. In the email communication, in the engaging of the classroom. Well, Travis, you're not a teacher. You don't know how it goes. Okay, I don't necessarily. I don't have to deal with parents and that kind of stuff, but I do know what Scripture says. Guard your hearts. Number 5, speak your mind graciously. Look over at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. This is different than using your words carefully. Using your words is like, you know, are you gossiping about people? Speaking your mind graciously means being able to articulate what you believe, but in a way that's winsome. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders. You can put in there unbelievers, right? Making the best use of the time. Meaning, There is a day when the Lord is coming. The Lord has you here, has you engaged in that school for such a time as this, like with Esther. Verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Isn't it amazing? I'm really trying to focus on this in my own life and thinking about how it looks. This isn't some great truth that I've come up with. But when I read through the Gospels, it's amazing to see how sinners were drawn to Jesus. They wanted to be with Jesus. There was something about him, something in the way that he spoke, something in the way that he communicated, some way in the way that he dealt with them that was winsome, attractive. And that's so rare for us today. What I think we need to go here is with this. We need to be willing to stand up for what we believe. But we need to learn how to do it in a way that is gracious. Teachers, again, you don't think there's going to be discussions at the little coffee break room about the gay marriage issue this year? If you're in a high school, I'm sure some of your high schools have students who are involved in bisexual relationships already. That's what they say. So how do you communicate what you believe in a way that's not like so much of what Facebook has become, argumentative, mean-spirited, divisive, arguing with one another about stuff? But is there a way that you can speak the truth graciously, with salt? I mean, that's what he's getting at. Speaking in such a way that it's winsome, but it's also not acquiescing. It's not giving in to the ways of the world. It's standing for what you believe. It's making an impact. It's communicating truth. But it's doing it in such a way that you're not getting an argument with unbelievers, but that you're able to have a discussion that allows the Holy Spirit to move and work. None of us are called to win debates for Jesus. We're called to do what? To testify to what we know and what he's doing in our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to move and to speak. So speaking your mind doesn't mean sit around and just act like, oh, I don't believe in that, but I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to be outed. No, speak your mind, but do it in a way that is gracious, winsome. And again, do you see how this affects? It doesn't matter if you work at a bank. It doesn't matter if you work in a law office. All of these things apply in the same way. I'm just focusing on teachers. Because tomorrow, wherever it is you work, you have an opportunity to speak in a way that is gracious or that a way that is like offensive. And what I want is I want an unbeliever to look at me and to look at us as a church and say, okay, I know what they believe in. I know it my life doesn't line up with what they say they believe in, but man, I sure like them. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Because you're not ever going to win anybody to the Lord if they look at you and they say, that guy's a big pompous jerk. I don't want anything to do with him. And we laugh about it, but how many unbelievers think that about believers? And how would it be different if we spoke in a way that was gracious and winsome? The only people Jesus really spoke pretty harshly to us were the religious people. So take that and think about that. All right, number 6, share your faith fearlessly. All summer we've been talking about be bold, right? Be bold in seeking reconciliation. Be bold in sharing your faith, you know. At this point, teachers, I want you to see, yes, you get paid to be a teacher, but that school is your mission field. It is. It's great you do Vacation Bible School, and we get a lot of kids from a lot of churches who come here and come to this Vacation Bible School, and they just kind of go from church to church. But starting tomorrow, you're going to have kids in your class who didn't go to any Vacation Bible School this year. And you get an opportunity to impact them for the gospel. There's going to be teachers that you're next to in rooms that you're next to. Maybe you tag team teach, or they're going to be in the coffee room or wherever it is you guys hang out between classes, right? Who don't know Christ. God has you there on mission. You're able to impact families in this community far greater than I ever can. There's only one of me, there's only one of Don, there's only one of us church, but as you guys spread out into the schools, can you imagine the impact that you can have in these families sharing the gospel? And this applies especially to students, but teachers, I think it'll carries over. I'm one of those students who a kid in middle school shared the gospel with me, and that's how I came to know Christ. Some kid in middle school. My parents, they said they believed in God, but we didn't go to church. I went to VBS every so often, but a kid saw me as a mission field. He saw as an opportunity to tell me, look, you need to trust in Christ. Darren was at Jackson Middle School for such a time as that, that he could share the gospel with me and change my life. Jess, last year and years before, engaging a teacher friend with the gospel, and she ended up coming to GLAM and came to some of our women's ministries, right, and ended up getting sick and ultimately died, but we had an opportunity because she was investing and seeing herself not just a teacher at that school, but as somebody who was on mission to share the gospel. Think about that. All around you tomorrow are going to be people who don't know Jesus. Some of them are hostile to Jesus. Some of them have never even thought much about Jesus, and there you are having an opportunity to shine bright as the sun in a place that's dark. But if you don't go there clothed in the right armor, and you don't go there with a mouth that's ready to speak graciously, and you're not guarding your heart, you're not going to be ready to be making an impact. Let me just share one last thought. Enjoy each day thankfully. Look over at Psalm 118 with me. We're almost done. Psalm 118. Maybe if you're looking for a memory verse for the year, maybe this is one you put up, you pray every day before you go to school. Maybe it's what you think of when the alarm clock goes off. Psalm 118, verse 24. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I know the temptation for students tomorrow to wake up and, oh, I got to start school again. And I challenge them with the opportunities that school presents. But let's be honest, teachers, you feel the same way, a lot of you. And you've already started. You were there last week. But tomorrow, with all the chaos of students and stuff happening, I am becoming increasingly aware, and many of you in this room, you know it all too real, the time is one of the greatest enemies that we have. It just keeps marching on. It keeps going. It doesn't slow down for anybody. Kids get older. Kids get married. Kids have children. Before you know it, you're retired, right? I mean, you're like, where did my life go? And many of us, what we do is, we're so negative about the day. Instead of waking up and saying, I am thankful that I am alive. This is another day the Lord has given me. I want to use it to honor Him. I want to rejoice in it. I want to be thankful for this opportunity. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. I was sharing with students, like, did you see what happened this couple days ago? Some other kids in the boat down in Fort Lauderdale, right? Six or seven of them. Hit some bridge or something. One of the kids died. He thought he was getting ready to go back to school. I saw a story yesterday about a missionary that was getting ready to go back overseas. Semi driver didn't put his thing in park. He was drunk. Semi went back, smashed the car. All that stuff poured out on top of the car. The wife, who had plane tickets to leave today or tomorrow to go back to Italy for the IMB, died. Right? That's how life happens. So how bad is it every day to wake up and be miserable versus to wake up and say, I have a job. I have a mission field. God is using me to impact our community for His good. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I may not feel that way, but I'm going to believe it and I'm going to live it out. Because I want you to know, most of you, I dare to say every one of you in this room has it better than many of the kids that you're going to have in your classrooms. They come from difficult homes, financial struggles, parents that are divorced, all kinds of drug and abuse and all that kind of stuff goes on in homes all across this county. And those kids are going to be in your classroom. And you're able to stand up there. And your attitude can either encourage them or be a downer for them. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So tomorrow at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whenever your alarm goes off, will you wake up and say, I'm a teacher. This is the day the Lord has made. I am going to be glad and rejoice in it. And I want to be a light for my principal, for other teachers, for the parents, for the students, for my family, across the board. God, use me this day for your glory. How might this school year be different if that's our attitude? Parents, how might it be different if that's what you pray every day for your kid, for your child's teacher? Grandparents, I know some of you are like, well, this doesn't apply to me. Well, Mother's Day, Father's Day, same kind of things every year. But look, you should be praying for those teachers. You should be praying for those schools. You say, well, I don't know what school to pray for. Drive down the road. You see a school, pray for it. Pray for the believers in that school. Pray for the Christian kids in that school. Pray for the teachers in that school. Pray that Christ would come upon that school in a real and powerful way and that many would come to Christ, right? We all have an opportunity to be praying for our schools. If we want Palm Beach County to go from being a community that doesn't know Christ and is on a speed train, if I could, on a fast track to hell, if we want to see that change, a great way to do that is to pray for our teachers and pray for our schools. So tomorrow, when that bus is slowing you down on your way to work, don't be grumpy. Don't be aggravated. Pray for that bus. Pray for those kids on that bus. Okay? Encouraging one another. And as we close, let me just challenge you with this. Some of you right now, as Don will come and lead us in a song in a minute, maybe some of you just need to pray for an attitude change. Maybe you're just kind of dreading tomorrow, whether it's a student, a parent, a teacher, administrator. Maybe you need to pray for an attitude change. Maybe you need to pray for your family. There's some parents in this room. Maybe your kids are over there at the Rock or in Sunday school class. Maybe you get them together today and you go through these things. You pray with them. You encourage them each and every day to be a witness for Christ. Maybe some of you need to pray for your kids' teachers. Maybe some of you are teachers and you know other teachers that you need to be praying for. Maybe it's your principal. Maybe she or he is lost. Maybe that's who you can be praying for. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how this impacts you directly, but today, on this day, when we acknowledge and give thanks for those who teach and engage in the school system, will we pray for our schools? Will we pray for our teachers? Will we pray for our students? And would we ask God to move and to draw many to faith as a result of those 10 or 12 people that stood up here today? Is that your prayer? Can we pray that as a church this morning for Jesus' sake? Let's pray. Lord, I know not everybody in this room is going to leave out of here saying, oh, that applied directly to me. But Lord, if we have ears that are sensitive, we can see whether we're teachers or whatever other profession we have, all of these things are the same. We go to a bowling league. We play softball on Friday nights. Lord, whatever the situation, you put us in places where we can make a difference in how we talk and how we think and how we, and Lord, just how we live. So, Lord, would we live every day thankful, knowing that every day you give us is an opportunity to proclaim the praises of Him who has saved us. We pray for these teachers, Lord, as they go tomorrow. Bless them. Encourage them. We pray for the students in our church who will go to school tomorrow. Would they bless and be an honor to their teachers? Would they not be students who are disrespectful or rude, but would they live and act in such a way that the teachers are blessed by their communication. We pray for our parents, Lord, that as they speak and engage teachers, that they do so winsomely, prayerfully, graciously. Lord, we want to be a church that prays for our families, our teachers, our schools. And Lord, as your people pray, would you move and work in Jesus' sake? We pray all these things in his name. Amen.